Blog Talk Radio.
Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there is a better way to work.
Well, hello everybody. Welcome to show number 7 on the Engage for Success Radio show. The Power of Inclusion is our title for today. So, great to be here. It's Jo Dodds. I'm a social media consultant working with the Engage for Success movement and one of the co-hosts of the show. I must just say good whatever to John Ingham last week on the show. He unfortunately had a guest who couldn't dial in because we have a number that's in America for people to dial in as the guest, and the person couldn't dial out where they were working. And so he ended up having to do the whole show on his own as a monologue, although I think Tommy did call in at the last minute to help him out a bit. But all kudos to him for getting through that. And I hope we don't have the same thing today. We were just talking to Ian Dodds, who's going to be our guest today, and he was dialing in from an expensive phone line, and we've sent him off via another option to get in on a penny a minute line. So we're hoping he's going to pop back up again shortly, and then we'll be able to interview him later on in the show. So thanks everyone who's listening. I just want to, as usual, tell you about some events that are coming up with Engage for Success over the next week and a bit, up to the end of April. We have tomorrow at 4 o'clock a LinkedIn webinar, a free LinkedIn webinar being delivered by
your.
Oh, hi Ian. Yes, I'm here. Yeah, we're on.
Yes,
we're live.
I'm
just
all
talking
the time.
About.
I didn't know whether I connected with you. Okay, great.
Don't worry. That's fine. I'm just telling people about the events, and then we'll get on to the interview bit. So great, you're here. So that's good. So tomorrow at 4 o'clock, I'm doing the LinkedIn webinar for Engage Success. Really. As a result of the Guru Group asking for some more information and help as to how to use LinkedIn to best effect. And so I did one today, and we've got another one at 4 o'clock on Wednesday. So it is free. We didn't have very many on today, and we've not got many booked in for Wednesday. So if you want to come on, you will get pretty much one-to-one coaching because there's not, I think there's probably two people on there at the moment. So do feel free to join us, and then we can very much deal with your specific questions because there won't be that many people on the call. So it won't be very generic, it'll be very specific. So that's 4 o'clock tomorrow, Wednesday afternoon. Then on Friday the 26th, we've got the Engage Success Comes to Essex event. And every time I read that, it reminds me of that television program that I don't watch. But it sounds really exciting, doesn't it? Engage Success Coming to Essex. It's at Chelmsford at the Angela Ruskin University. And it's from 9 till 4, and it's a free event, another free event. So you can find out more details on our website. If you go to the section that says Community and Events, and then you can see the calendar on the bottom right-hand side, and just click on the 26th, and it'll show you the details, and you can get in touch if you want to go along. And then on Tuesday the 30th, they've got a, we've got a Go Mad Discovery session about employee engagement, and that's from 10 till 4:30. And that's another free event as well. So there's tons going on and really sort of substantial events that you can come along to without having to pay, which is great, isn't it? So it's the Go Mad session. I'm just trying to find out where it is. I didn't write that down on my notes, which was not very helpful. It's at the Breast Cancer Care in London. So that's just south of the river, near off Southwark Street, I think, Great Suffolk Street, near Southwark Street, south of the river. So if you go to the website, you can find out more about that, and there'll be a case study and interview with Lynn Green, who's the Organisational Development Manager of Indesit, and all about how they've implemented employee engagement initiatives and so on within their organisation. And then also on the 30th is a webinar, again a free webinar, and it's Respect, Surveying Employee Wants and Driving Organisational Success, and that's being delivered by Connexa, and that's from 3 till 4 next Tuesday. So have a look on the website. We keep adding events. If you've got any events that you're attending or running that aren't promoted on the site, then you can go in and add those in yourself, or you can email us if you email content at engageforsuccess.org, content at engageforsuccess.org, and we can get those events up on the site. We have slightly changed our policy on how we promote or what events we allow on there. It used to be that we only put free events on there, but we're putting any event that we can find and that we know about that's around the whole employee engagement subject, because we want to be the place to go to find the events around employee engagement. But we're also being very clear about which events are free and which events do have an investment attached to them. And then obviously it's up to you as a visitor to decide whether you want to invest in those events that aren't free or not. So do let us know all the things that you're getting involved in or that you know about that are happening, and we can get that up onto the website. So I've got some very exciting news today, and that is that we have another host for the show. We have said on a few shows that we're really looking to get some more hosts to join in, partly so that you don't keep listening to me every week, but also so that we have some flexibility, as it's obviously a weekly show, for making sure we have availability and so on. And so we've been asking the question, and then we had somebody who was lurking on our Google Plus page, sort of probably three shows in a row, and I was thinking, ha-ha, this is somebody who's paying attention and available, clearly, at 4 o'clock on a Monday afternoon. So we connected and got chatting, and I'd like to welcome Jo Moffat as a new host for our show. So hi, Jo.
Hello, Jo. Thanks very much. It's great to be here.
Excellent. Well, Jo's from Woodread, and she's part of the Engage Success Guru Group, and she's the MD and founder of a creative communications consultancy, Woodread, and Woodread help clients leverage their brands to create healthy cultures. They use the strategies, creativity, and media used by consumer marketers, but they use them on the inside. So, Jo, before you get into the presenting bit and introduce our guest, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by use them on the inside?
What we mean, really, is that we apply the same level of creativity and rigor and strategy to developing communications programs targeting employees as organizations do when they invest in their brand campaigns to target their external audiences. Essentially, we're all about brands here at Woodread, and our belief is very much that the brand inside is as important as the brand outside, and that organizations ought to treat their employees with the same care and concern and value of communications as they do their external customers. So that's essentially what it's all about. So there we go.
Excellent. Great.
So
well, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I mean, it's all about saying that brands are something that we get very excited about here, and that I particularly get very excited about, and they're a very powerful catalyst for employee engagement, just as much as they are for engaging your customers, essentially. Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm coming from. Okay,
right.
Thank you for
joining us, and I'll hand it all over to you now, and you do the rest. I'm going on to Google Plus in case anyone wants to participate there, but I'll be here, but I'll leave you now to run the rest of the show.
Okay, thanks very much, Jo, and thank you. So let me introduce our guest for today's show. I'm delighted that we've got Dr. Ian Dodds with us today. Ian is CEO of Ian Dodds Consulting, or IDC. IDC have got lots of experience working internationally with organizations to promote inclusion and diversity in the workplace. And particularly importantly, obviously, in the same way as we do at Engage for Success, promoting the business case for inclusion and diversity and how inclusion and diversity links to employee engagement. So welcome to blogtalkradio.com, Ian. Thank you for coming in this afternoon. And let's get started, shall we?
Yes, good afternoon, Joe, and to all the listeners. And I want to talk about the power of inclusion, and I want to start with why inclusion is business critical.
Okay, Ian, before we get on to that, I just think it might be helpful for those listening in who are perhaps not as familiar with the terminology and the labels as you are, if before we actually kind of get into the meat of it, could I just take a moment to sort of define our terms? So
I'll do that. I'll do that, Joe. First of all, by diversity, I mean every way in which any mixture of people has both similarities and differences.
Uh-huh.
Now, you notice that I'm putting the emphasis on both similarities and differences, and that's quite important. And the inclusion is about creating a culture where people feel respected and valued. They feel their ideas and opinions are going to be heard. In other words, employee voices heard. And they can perform to their best and advance to their full potential. Now, it's most important, you only get the benefits from having a diverse workforce when we create an inclusive culture. And we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Okay.
So, what is the business case for the power of inclusion? And I want to start off by talking about, would you believe it, a mathematical theorem. Professor Scott Page, one evening, was a bit bored about 20 years ago. He's an eminent mathematician in the United States. And as you would, he decided to set up two computer models. One with artificial agents who were bright and expert, but they were relatively homogeneous. And another with, and he also had artificial agents who, some of them were bright, some of them not so bright. They weren't experts, but they were diverse. And he ran the computer simulation with them solving a difficult problem. And he maintains he was astonished when the diverse group outperformed the bright group of experts. And he repeated it, and he repeated it, and always got the same results. So he then set about proving mathematically, and he has actually proved mathematically, that a diverse group of people will consistently outperform a bright group of experts in solving a problem. There are two conditions. One is that it must be a complex problem, and the second is that the group must listen to each other, explore differing points of view and differing ideas, and check their understanding. And, of course, that is the challenging part. But more
mm-hmm.
about that later.
I mm-hmm. okay.
want to tell you a little story to illustrate that.
Please do.
Some years ago, I was made HR director of a large chemicals factory in Huddersfield in the north of England.
Mm-hmm.
And it had very poor employee relations. And I was tasked with changing that. And I did what my predecessor HR directors had done. I worked with the managers to try and bring about improvement. And we made a little bit of progress, but not a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then I persuaded the factory director that we should engage the whole of the workforce in making that the best factory in the group. And I persuaded him that we should set up mixed teams. And those teams would be led by a manager, but they would include people from right across the workforce, including the front line. And the management group of which I was a part would give each of those teams a different problem to solve that was concerned with making that the best factory in the group.
Mm-hmm.
And I trained each of those groups in interactive management to listen to each other, to actually explore differing ideas and points of view, and to check their understanding. 5 years later, the chairman, who some of you may have heard of, Sir John Harvey Jones, came to congratulate it on becoming one of the best factories in the group. At the time, because I went on to repeat this kind of success many times in different situations, I thought it was because we were engaging people and they were more motivated and they had different notions of what the problems were. And that was certainly true. But about 5 years ago, I was speaking on a platform at Harvard Business School, and Professor Scott Page was on the same platform. I'd not come across him before, and he described his diversity trumps ability theorem. And then I realized that that was what had happened on that factory. When I'd worked with the managers, they were white men, they were young, they'd been to a small group of prestigious universities, Oxford, Cambridge, and Imperial College London. And bright and expert they might be, they'd also incidentally all studied science. So bright and expert they might be, but their diversity was very narrow. When we'd involved the mixed teams from across the factory, we'd massively multiplied the diversity. And what's more, we'd actually taught those teams to listen to each other. So that was a, very good example, diversity trumping ability.
Okay. So it's
now,
a bit like... Sorry, Ian, I was just sorry to interrupt you there, but it's a very similar argument then to the argument that we're seeing going on at the moment about the UK police service, isn't it? How we tend to have middle-aged white men in senior leadership roles there, and how by addressing the diversity issue there, we'd actually achieve better outcomes. It's similar, exactly the same rationale, yeah?
Yeah, excepting that I was just about to say, I'm actually looking at diversity in terms of layers of diversity. This comes from two people who worked extensively in the field, Garden, Schwartz, and Rowe. And so when I think of diversity, I think not just of the six strands, i.e. things like gender, race, and ethnicity, sexual orientation, disability, but I also think of personality. We all know that an extrovert is likely to see the world quite differently to an introvert.
Mm-hmm.
We all know that if we take lifestyle factors, someone who's married and with children might see the world differently for someone who is single and without children. Even if we take work factors like level, what sort of role people are in, these play a part. And
so it's not just the
so,
diversity in terms of...
That means that, for example, we all know that an accountant might see the world very different to someone who is a salesperson. And all these elements contribute to diversity of thought. And when diversity trumps ability, we're actually engaging all of these different diversity of thought elements.
Righto, right. So it's very much, it's much, much broader than perhaps people would immediately imagine when they hear the term diversity, which tends to be a shorthand for ethnicity or gender or orientation. It's actually much broader than that.
Absolutely. This is very important to grasp that concept.
Okay.
Now, there was research done, just going on with a business case, by an organization called CREATE. This was in the UK. Where they actually did research in 400 organizations who'd actually really put a lot of effort into diversity and inclusion. And
mm-hmm.
they discovered that they had gained significant business benefits. First of all, their efforts on diversity and inclusion had reduced their recruitment costs and offered a bigger talent pool. And it had reduced the recruitment costs because if you create an inclusive culture where people feel valued and respected, they actually stay there.
Mm-hmm.
They also found that it had raised employee motivation, productivity, and it had enhanced employee brand. When people feel valued and respected, when their voices are heard, when they're enabled to perform to their best, they go out and tell their friends and their families. And so
mm-hmm.
people in the community get to know that your organization is a good place to work. And they also found that these organizations felt that diversity and inclusion had produced new ideas and better products and services for their customers.
So the power
of inclusion has an absolutely massive effect on performance. In other words, if people experience exclusion, they feel disengaged. If they feel excluded, they begin to withhold their ideas and opinions. They have more time off. When on that factory in Huddersfield we made people feel included, absenteeism absolutely plummeted. And in
mm-hmm.
the ultimate, of course, these people leave.
Mm. Which in itself then costs money in terms of replacement and recruitment costs.
Absolutely.
And so on. And so on. Mm. Yes. Yes. So,
okay.
So Ian, I mean, it sounds like a bit of an, you know, it clearly you're ticking an awful lot of boxes. So if it is so important, what's getting in the way in your experience?
Right.
What's stopping
these are things that are getting in the way. First of all, my business, Ian Dodds Consulting IDC, has done a lot of work on leadership behavior. And
mm-hmm.
this is helping leaders identify the behaviors that are needed to drive their strategy, their business strategy,
mm-hmm.
and then providing them in coaching and feedback so that they can practice and role model those behaviors.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very powerful process for driving strategy. And when they've identified the behaviours, invariably there are behaviours concerned with inclusion. And the research that I've done on all of these hundreds of leadership behaviour surveys I've done is that it's the ones which are required to manage inclusively that managers are least good at. In other words, hearing concerns, people's ideas and opinions, appreciating what is different about people, empowering people so that they feel they've got the autonomy to speak up, finding out what each individual's talents are and helping them use those talents both for performance now and for performance in the future. The other thing that's a barrier is unconscious bias. And this comes about because as we grew up in our early years, we're given messages about people who are the same or different to ourselves.
Right.
And this is from our teachers, our friends, and from the media. And these tend to embed in our subconscious a liking for, a preference rather, for people who are similar to ourselves. And the other factor is, at an organizational level, and this was shown by Professor Mary Rowe, that organizations evolve with the cultures of the people who've been in power. And, of course, in Northern Europe and North America, these are often white, educated males. And usually middle-aged. And
right.
An example of this was, I was coaching a senior woman in a very well-known technology company, and one afternoon she burst into tears. And she said, "Ian, you cannot imagine what I have to put up with from my male colleagues." And I said, "Donna, what is it they do?" She said, well, they always interrupt me when I'm talking. She said, "I never feel that my ideas and opinions are appreciated by them as much as their own." And these are absolutely characteristics of unconscious bias in organizations. 6 weeks later, that lady contacted me to tell me that she was thinking of leaving. And I suggested to her that we had an intermediate step, and that was that we would share with her colleagues what she was experiencing, and I would facilitate that session. Her white male colleagues were horrified. They had no idea that they were doing this. And they resolved to change their practices. And what's more, that organization did a lot of training on unconscious bias. And Donna is still in that organization today, 6 years later.
So they did manage to follow through on their desire to change then?
Absolutely. Right. We now need to look at what it is that builds inclusion.
Well, I was going to say that leads quite nicely into that.
A little bit of magic on this, and this is work. This is work that was done by Terry Morgan and Neil Rackham some years ago, where they showed that any conversation can be categorized into about 15 different interactive behaviors. There's telling behaviors such as giving information, like I am now. Making suggestions, summarizing, disclosing something that the other person might not know but that you know. And then there are the seeking ones, seeking information, seeking suggestions, checking understanding, developing suggestions, and so on. And I've done many interactive behavior analyses of board meetings, of senior team meetings, of project team meetings. I've shadowed people I've been coaching and done these. And, of course, you won't be surprised to know that the ones that they tend to excel in are the telling behaviors, and they're often very weak on the seeking behaviors. And it's a relatively easy task to improve their competence in seeking information, seeking suggestions, acknowledging, bringing in. And it's absolute magic. And remember, on that factory that change from being one of the worst performers to being one of the best in the group worldwide, that is what we train them to do, to get the benefits of diversity trumping ability. The other thing that's an important factor in this, and it comes from Dr. Leslie Braxick in her book, Unlock Behavior, Unleash Profitability, is that some 80 or 90% of the behavior in an organization is influenced by that of the leaders. So if you want an organization which is inclusive, the leaders have to themselves set an example in inclusive behavior. Mm-hmm. And they've got to align their behavior with what's necessary to deliver their strategy. And as I said earlier, that always involves behaviors which result in inclusiveness. And Professor Glovankowski has shown that a 10% improvement in the alignment of leaders' behavior with the strategy gives a 20% improvement in workforce clarity of direction and commitment, and up to a 40% improvement in performance. And to get that to happen, the leaders need feedback and they need coaching over a period of time. I've done this many times, and over a period of a year where they might have three rounds of feedback and about half a dozen coaching sessions, they invariably improve their behavior scores by about 10 to 15%. And the final thing that's necessary to do this, of course, is to train people in unconscious bias, as the firm that I referred to earlier did. So three things then. Use the magic of the interactive behaviors tool. The second thing is make sure that the leader's behavior is aligned with the business strategy and that it includes inclusive behaviors, and they get free feedback and coaching to practice that. And make sure that particularly managers are aware of the impact of unconscious bias and how to manage it in themselves.
Interesting. Ian, that's fascinating. What you're describing has obviously got considerable parallels with the Engage for Success. It has its four pillars or four enablers of employee engagement, which for anyone listening who's not familiar with those, they are that an organization needs a strong strategic narrative or story, that it has engaging managers, employee voice needs to be heard, and the organization needs to have organizational integrity in that what it says, it does what it says on the tin, for want of a better word. And I wonder where you think diversity and inclusion sit with those four pillars, or is it aligned to one or more, or do you think it underpins a lot?
First of all, if we take a strong strategic narrative, a leader who's going to lead inclusively is going to give people a future vision of success.
Yeah.
And so the people are going to know where they're going and what success will look like.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to, that leader, he or she, is going to treat people as individuals. They're going to empower them, they're going to engage them, and they're going to listen to their voices. So employee voice is the next thing, because it's employee voice which is necessary to, if you like, get the benefits of diversity trumps ability. Professor Paul Groensberg has an article in the June edition of the Harvard Business Review last year, where he says that in the present circumstances where organizations are facing crisis conditions, extremely difficult conditions, leadership is about conversations. It's about engaging employee voice. And also, I would argue that inclusion is about integrity. It's about making sure that the values that the organization is about are reflected in day-to-day behavior. And that's where the leadership behaviors come in. I'm just about to start work with a client that wants its leaders to actually align their behaviors with their values.
Great. Ian, I'm afraid I'm going to have to cut you short now, but that's been absolutely fascinating. Thank you. Thank you very much indeed. It's been a bit of a whistle-stop tour, but a really useful insight nonetheless into inclusion and diversity. So I appreciate you taking the time to be with us this afternoon, and thank you very much indeed. Thanks. thank you for listening, everybody. Thanks for joining in. Thanks to the other Joe for holding my hand. And as I say, thank you very much, Ian Dodds, for joining us this afternoon. Thank you all, and goodbye.
Thank you, and goodbye.
Engage for Success Radio, raising the profile of employee engagement and shining a light on good practice for people who believe there is a better way to work.